pictures, I depend on this. To show how my family look like, I depend on this. It seems like, you know, but the major function that this thing has is to receive phone calls. And one good thing about it, if I input your number, if you call me and I put your name on it, it shows who's calling me. And so I can either take it or not take it, depending on who it is. I love that function. You know, it's just, oh, wife is calling, better answer. My kids are calling, better not answer. Because usually they're asking for money. You know, just better not answer. So I can just, you know, take the calls and not take the call, depending on who's calling. Now, when was the last time that you really heard God calling your name? When was the last time that you heard, Jim Bob, I want you, I need you? When was the last time you heard the voice of God calling your name? And maybe you just, you know, kind of ignore that call. Maybe you just put it aside thinking that, well, you know, not now, I'm not ready. That was me. You know, I wasn't ready to be called by God. In fact, you know, I'm a pastor right now. That was the last thing I wanted to be growing up. I said, I'll be everything except pastor. Because I seen my dad. You know, he had this kind of a philosophy of ministry that he wanted to be a pioneer. He always, you know, he goes to a church plant where there's so much suffering and so much hardship. There's no money coming out. So my mom had to work 2-3 jobs all the time. So we're always short of money. And growing up, at one point, I said, you know, I'm never going to be a pastor when we're living in Monterey, in a place called Marina. It was a church plant. It was a small church. So financially, my father didn't get too much money from church. So, you know, one day my dad calls everyone and says, we're going to have a family meeting. Everyone bring out your piggy banks. Because, you know, the check was going to bounce. So everyone brought out their piggy banks. And, you know, this it was kind of one of those naengmyeon bowl, you know, the noodle bowl. He brought it out and he put all the coins in there. It was kind of a bowl full of coins. Now the issue was, who's going to take this to the bank? Nobody wanted to take it. My dad already went to the room. You know, it's kind of embarrassing to take all that coin to deposit. And, you know, my brother, he just, you know, put his head down as if, of course, I'm the always kind of guinea pig. And, okay, send Jim Bob. So, you know, my mom told me, you go. And, you know, I had to walk to the bank. They didn't even take me to the bank. They made me walk to the bank with this bowl full of coins. And I was walking to the bank, and I was, like, in tears. I said, I'm never going to be like my dad. He's a loser. He's making his children suffer. This is so embarrassing. I'm going to go, to, you know, and having to deposit all these pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters. It's so embarrassing. I was going, I'm never going to be pastor like my father and make his children suffer like this. But, you know, be careful what you say to God. Things that you don't want to do, he makes you do it. It's just, you know, so you should use reverse psychology to God. I want to be pastor. Please, God, make me. And maybe he will make something else. And, you know, watching my father, I thought, you know, every time I complain about how we always have junky car, you know what he used to say? He said, well, son, look at all those cars out there. All those cars, nice cars, they're all ours. It belongs to our Heavenly Father. We're just allowing other people to use it. Like, you know, I said, you loser. I mean, he had excuse for everything. And I said, you know, I'm never want to be like my dad when I grow up, a pastor. But God called me one day. In fact, I wanted to be a rich elder. Is there a rich elder here? Or just mediocre, kind of not too rich elders? I want to be a rich elder. In fact, you know what my major was at UC Davis? It was international relations, focusing on international trade and development. You know, I speak 4 languages. And, you know, I took all these classes, and it was exciting. I could see where the money's flowing. And I said, wow, look at all this money. After I graduate, I can follow that path, and I can be rich. I'm going to be so rich, and I'm going to be helping PKs who are like me, who had to carry coins to the bank. I'm going to be like savior to those children. That was my dream. You know, I had a vision. I wanted to just live that kind of life. But then God called. You know, I went to this one retreat. I forget which camp it was. It was one of these camps near Lake Tahoe. Went there. And I was helping out this one pastor. I was leading praise. I was a praise leader. Did you know that? Worship leader. I did everything. I even conducted choir. I didn't even know how to read the music. So, you know, there was no one to do the choir. So I said, I'll do it. I was a brave one. I said, do you know music? No. I'll just, you know, swing my arm and you just do whatever. Usually, you know, you got to kind of end it like that, but then I'm like over here and they're finished. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of funny too. But you know, I went to the retreat to help out this pastor. And then as I was leading worship, the pastor invited, you know, there's right now, God is calling some of you to really commit your life to God. And God really wants for you to really give your life to God so that you can be full-time workers of God. If you are that person, please come forward. No one was coming. And he kept on kind of, you know, almost begging. Please come. No one was coming. I felt so bad. I'm helping this pastor out. No one's coming. I said, oh, man, I feel so bad for him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit kind of spoke to me. How about you? You say that you are Christian, but, you know, as every time God calls, you seem like to turn your back on him. How about you? That's how kind of, you know, I got down on my knee. No one was coming out because I was the first one out there. Then other kids started coming out because I was, you know, kind of like one of those sacrificial lamb, first going there, kneeling and praying. And after I prayed, I don't know how long I prayed, I opened my eyes, and there was a puddle of water in front of me. And I thought, did I pee? What is that water? I just was weeping. You know, I didn't even know I was weeping and praying. And so, you know, I committed my life. And I thought, oh, that's retreat. Retreat, everybody does that. You know, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, people get all emotional and crying. Ah, just the spur of a moment. And I came home and shared that with my back then girlfriend, now wife. And she said, took it seriously. Oh. Did you really pray the prayer of commitment to God? I think so. You better become pastor. Otherwise, if God called you, if you don't answer, oh, you're going to be punished. And I don't want to be next to you when you're punished. So then she kicked my butt to go to seminary. You see, when God calls, when we're not ready, he never calls when we're ready. He has a way of calling us when we're not even ready. That's what happened to Moses. Moses wasn't ready to be called. He was living his life. You know, for 40 years he lived in Egypt as prince. And after killing someone, he was a runaway. And he was in the wilderness caring for his father-in-law's flock. He was a shepherd for 40 years. Now he was 80 years old, 80, 80. He's a senior citizen ready to retire. And God calls. You know the story of burning bush? You know what's the first two words that came out of a burning bush? Moses, Moses. That's it. Moses, Moses. He hears his name and he goes and, you know, says, take off your shoes. You're standing on the holy ground. I'm sure that Moses, what the heck? What is this? Never seen this before. There's bushes burning, but then it's not really being consumed. You know, it's not turning into ashes. It's just there's a fire burning. And he hears the voice of God. I heard the suffering cries of my people, Israelites in Egypt, who are living as slaves. And I have chosen you to go and deliver my people and take them to the promised land. Moses wasn't ready. He wasn't ready at all. He was ready to retire. And God calls. Of course, the word retirement is putting a new tire. You know that. Putting a brand new tire. So God said, I put a new tire on you. I give you a new life. And this new life, I'm calling you for you to respond to this call. I hate it when God calls when I'm not ready. I wish he would give me a warning. But God calls when we are least expecting and we're not, you know, just ready. And Moses had all kinds of excuses, didn't he? God, I can't do it. Look, I stutter. I stutter. I cannot talk. You know, if you're going to go deliver your people, you got to talk well. I can't speak. Don't worry. You have your brother to go with. I'm not that powerful. I'm not that strong. Don't worry. I will be with you. Then show me. Show me a sign that you're going to be one. Put your hand in your cloak. Take it out. Ooh, a leper. Put it back. Ooh, clean. Take the staff and throw it down. Ooh, turn into snake. Take that snake. Turn it. God showed kind of, you know, miracles. Wouldn't you respond? Yeah, God, I believe in you. You're awesome. Look at all these miracles. Sign me up. Wouldn't you do that thing, all those miracles? Not Moses. Even seeing the miracle of God, says, no, not me. You got the wrong guy. Someone else. I can't do it. During the conversation that goes back and forth with God and Moses, you know what the subject matter is? I. Moses was looking at I, me. What God is saying, look at me. Look at me. My power will be with you. I'm going to go with you. I will be with you till the end. I'm going to be the one who will do all these things. You just need to stand there. You just need to be present where I sent you. But the whole time, Moses is looking at his ability, his strength, and his inability. So he's saying, conclusion is, I can't. God is saying, you can, because you can do all things through him who strengthens him. Yet he was looking at himself. Some of us are called by God. In fact, no, not some. All of us are called by God. If you believe in Jesus and you're here alive, you're called by God. God is even today calling you. You better answer. Not now, God. I'm not ready. You know, when I was younger, I used to pray to God, God, you need to come back. You promised that you would come back, but don't come yet. I need to get married. Come after I get married so I can experience what it means to live like a married man. You know, we set our own time schedule. We set our own plans, and we want God to be part of that plan. You know, best way to live our lives, God already has all his plans laid out. It is better to sign myself up to his plan and respond to his call so that we can really ride the waves that he is making instead of us trying to create a wave. Cornerstone Church of Silicon Valley here, you got good thing going here. God started a nice wave. All that you have to do is not trying to create something of your own, but ride the wave that God is creating already. That's the easy way to go. But Moses thought, I have to do something in order to deserve to be called by God. No. No. Even at the inconvenience of you know, just not now, respond to his call. Now, how are you going to respond? You know, not all of you are cut out to be pastors and missionaries. I hope that not all of you become pastors, because I'm going to be out of job. There are already too many pastors, you know. Then what are you called to do? You know, God calls each one of us to be his child in wherever we are. Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And he told us to go from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Start where you are right now, in the Silicon Valley, where you are. You know, a lot of us are very good Christian when you come to church. This doesn't count, as I said earlier today. This doesn't count. Your life as a Christian begins when you leave the walls of church into the world. You're not to be the secret agents of God who gather once a week just to make sure that your identity is set. The world needs to see that you are sent by God into the world with his love. You know, all these people from, you know, the terrorists, the ISIS group and all that, you know, they proclaim death. You know what we are to proclaim? Life. Life. We are to proclaim life. So we go into the world. What is salt without leaving the salt shaker? It's nothing. Some of us are so good here inside the church, but we fail to live our life of calling that God has made, that you are my disciples wherever you go into the world. Become the disciple. Do something in the world. There's a guy named John Hong. Good friend, good member of church. He's gastrointestinal specialist. He said, from the point of leaving the stomach up to the tongkumong anus, that's his specialty. You know, that is his specialty. And he's a doctor who just, you know, is crazy about God. It's all about soli deo gloria. You know, glory to God. He wants to live his life giving glory to God. That's his calling. His calling is to be a doctor. Doctor for Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't become doctor to make money, to be famous. But he became doctor so that he can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So wherever, whenever he has time, he takes his friends and he goes to Indonesia. He goes to Mongolia. It only takes a little spark to get the fire going. It only takes one person to motivate other people. You know, laziness is contagious. So is commitment, devotion. That is contagious as well. All you need is one person to say, let's do it. And you will have a whole bunch of people following. That is a calling that God has made to each one of us. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you ought to do it for the glory of God. Whether you're a teacher, you're an engineer, you are a tech, whatever you do. My eldest, he works at Riot Games, as I told you. And you know, and he asked me, just, Dad, what can I do in order to live my life for the glory of God? Hey, you'll encounter a lot of young people. You become the disciple of Jesus Christ wherever you are. You shine. Not by, you know, just putting nice face cream. No. You shine by your love. The way you have a higher work ethic than other people. By the way that you really talk to other people, encouraging. And to just breathe life into other people. That's what we're called to do. We're called. You and I are called. Don't diss God, saying that, well, I only serve God here at church. You know, many of you say, well, where do you serve? And oftentimes, you know what we say? Well, I serve in the media department. I serve in the finance department. You know, all these departments within the church. That doesn't count. This is a training ground. Actual battle zone is out there in the world. You are called into the world in order to really bring life to the people who are outside. That's what we're called to do. Now the question is, are you going to answer to that call? You better, you know, even as you're looking for a future spouse, marry someone who has the same vision as you. Because I've seen so many young people who have just, who are gung-ho about God and marrying someone wrong, and then they're just gung-ho, it's just nothing. They just become nothing. There was a sister who said, you know, I'm going to live my life for God. No matter what happens, I'm going to live my life for God. And then, you know, she kept on aging and aging, and she became an old miss. She was, you know, passing 30, and she started panicking. I thought, at this rate, I don't think I'm going to meet anybody. I said, have faith. Have faith. And she kept on kind of, you know, And then finally she said, well, Pastor, I met someone. He's really nice. He's a complete package, except one thing. He's not a believer. I said, what? That's not a complete package. You can have all the things, you know, number one to 99, things that you've been kind of wanting. But 100, if that important thing is not there, then that's not it. He wasn't a Christian. She said, well, everything else is so good. I'll make him Christian after we get married. She got married. And she left church. She's nowhere to be found. I don't even know where she is at right now. You see, you need to go with the person with the same path. So I encourage you to marry each other here. Why you laugh? Why you laugh? Look at Blaine. Blair. Look at them. They met KCCC and they got married. Look at how happy they look. You marry each other. You know, why look elsewhere? You know, many people think that you're looking for a perfect 10. There's no perfect 10. You know, if you think that you met someone perfect, you're in trouble. Because where are you going to go from perfection? It's downhill from there. If you have a certain expectation, if the person meets about 70% of your expectation, it's a perfect person. After you get married, you can work on building to 100. But if you're already 100, you're going to go downhill from there. So, you know, just, To my wife, I was just nowhere near her expectation. She gambled. Yeah, she gambled. You know, I was dirt poor. I was so poor that I was living in my friend's closet. I couldn't pay the rent. And I was eating ramen, just 3 meals a day, every day, because that was the cheapest thing to eat. And you know, everyone had ramen, so they gave me a few ramen for free. And I always say, you know, after I die, I'm not gonna rot because I have so much preservative in me. All the ramen, it's just, when I get up, I'm gonna, you know, smell like ramen when Jesus comes. Yeah, you know, I wasn't anywhere near, you know, my wife's expectation, because she was really beautiful. Oh. You know, she was, I didn't show you how she looked when I first met her. Wow, she was out of my league. But, you know, God blinded her. And then, you know, just, yeah, he just, and her friends were kind of making fun of my wife. You know, Jim Bob and Hannah, huh, what happened to you, Hannah? You know, she was from rich family, only child. She was driving Honda Accord, brand new Honda Accord when she came in as a freshman. Back then, Honda Accord was it. You know, and she was like shopping at Macy's and all that, and me, I'm just trying, struggling to find the next meal. You know, whenever there's kind of some kind of you know, event going on where they serve food, I'm there. Where there's food, I'm there. But we met, and then we walked the same path. We had the same vision. We believed in the same God. We shared the same dream. So we shared the same call. So she was ready to really go into the ministry together. That was the greatest blessing. I have seen so many of my friends who had calling from God, who wanted to live his life. There's one friend of mine, you know, he's my hubby from UC Davis. He went to seminary and all that, but his wife said, you know, I'm never going to be samonim. Pastor was, I never want to be. If you're going to continue on with the ministry, I'm going to divorce you. So he couldn't do ministry. So here, yeah, meet each other. Yeah, don't look far. Just. Yeah. Look at how wonderful sisters there are. There's no one perfect. Yeah, no one perfect. Yeah, I think he's convicted now. Yeah. Please do, because to be walking the same path and to be answering to the call to same God and same direction, that is the greatest joy and blessing. God is calling each one of us to live our life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, wherever we are. Not that you are a missionary or you are a pastor. Not only the missionary and pastors are called, we are called to the full-time ministry of, you know, sharing the gospel. And so are you, except you don't get paid by church. You get paid by your workplace. Yet, that is your ministry setting, wherever you are. And I told Andy Bob here, as he was going LinkedIn, you know, I put my hands on his head and I was praying the prayer blessings. And I thought, God, you know, through Andy Bob, may LinkedIn become truly a place of worship. Through Andy Bob, may many people will come to know the love of Jesus Christ. And afterward, I'm praying, he was like weeping. And I said, why are you weeping? Because I'm sad that I'm leaving home. You know, he says, not because of, you know, you were inspired by the prayer, that too. You know, because of you and your presence in wherever you are, may that place become a little heaven. You know, there's an old Korean hymn, 초막이나 궁궐이나, whether you live in a shack or in a mansion, wherever you are with Jesus, that is heaven. Because where Jesus is, that's where the heaven is. Your presence, because Jesus is with you, wherever you are, that can be heaven. Right there, little heaven. We have a little heaven in Los Angeles in our household because Jesus is in our household. We don't sing hymns anymore, huh? This group don't sing hymns, you just sing praises. There's a funny story, just tell you this one story. Church was doing a fundraiser, and they wanted to kind of have an incentive. So pastor said, okay, whoever gives the most money, you know, to this building project, we're going to give you an opportunity to pick three hymns. And they decided to, you know, just commit. So they collected all the offering. And Mrs. Jones, who lives by herself, she's like 80 plus. She gave the most money. So, oh, you know, everyone applauded. And during the service time, the pastor went to Mrs. Jones and said, Mrs. Jones, as promised, you know, during the service, you get to pick 3 hymns. And she goes, oh, no. Oh, so go ahead. She got up, looked around. I want him. Since the topic of him came out. So God is already has your number in his phone, and he's dialing your number, and he's calling you to really live your life. Wherever you are, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's what we're called to do. And I'm really kind of, you know, thankful that you invited me to come. And I feel so bad that I cannot stay throughout the rest of a retreat with you, that I have to go back. Because, you know, I have obligation. I'm going to be missing another Sunday at the end of a month. So, you know, when Pastor Son contacted me, I can't miss Sunday. So I felt really bad. I've been with you just about a little over 24 hours. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I've gotten to know some of you. Hermano. So I expect to receive a wedding invitation soon. If time allows, I will come up and bless you. Yeah, that's the greatest kind of a, you know, gift to you. I'll come up. But it has to be someone in here. One of our sisters over here. Yeah. So respond to the calling, because this group is a great, wonderful group of people. And I am so excited to see the older leadership of this church are really in support of what you're doing here. It's not a typical kind of a, you know, immigrant church that they kind of, you know, just stomping on you, just not allowing you to do the things that you want to do. But they're really encouraging and truly empowering you to do things in order to really expand the kingdom of God. Next time I come to San Jose, I expect to see Cornerstone Church to really kind of explode, busting by the seam, at the seam. You know, that sanctuary that you're worshiping right now, I asked someone, you know, how many people fit into the sanctuary right now where you're worshiping? They said, well, about 300 plus maybe. I hope to hear that you are just busting at the seams, that you have packed up that church simply because you are called to do the work of God. You are hands and feet of God. There was a brother who was wearing a shirt, Jesus, hands and feet. That's who you are. You are, you know, Jesus, he doesn't have arm and he doesn't have legs. You are his arms and you are his legs. May you just continue to do the work that God is calling you to do, going into the Silicon Valley and to California, to the end of the earth, to do the will of God. Next time I see you, I hope to see you married. And I hope to see all of you living out the life that God has called you. Let's pray. God, even though it was a kind of short time, I sense the moving of Holy Spirit in this group. And I see that you are truly doing some amazing things in the lives of my brothers and sisters here. God, I want to bless them. And I want to just lift them up to you. The one who have started good things in them, may you bring to completion. And as you have called each one of us, where we are to be your disciple, to be your children. God, at times it's hard. And sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm not quite ready to live out my life. I need to have a little more fun. I need to just enjoy my life just like the other friends of mine are enjoying in a worldly sense. God, that is one of the tricks and the lies that the evil one is playing in me. God, may we be faithful. May we be faithful. Not only when we're here at church, be faithful when I'm alone. Because definitely, I am who I am, and my character is defined by not when I am with others, but when I'm alone, when no one's watching. May I become truly faithful disciple and child of God. God, we give you thanks for good thing that you have started at this church. May you continue on building up and encouraging. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.